Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
You're listening to the Cricket Podcast.
I think it was a disgraceful performance, and I think it should never be permitted to happen again.
That is very good.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Cricket Podcast. Today is a relaxed show. We'll be talking about what we saw in the IPL. Ross has got a duds 11 to share with us, and Dan is going to talk about his top five IPL players, or his top five targets who he was recruiting. I'm Jack Hope. Speaking of Ross Legg, how are you doing, Ross Legg?
I'm okay, mate. Life is a little bit more empty, isn't it, really? But to come on to here, reassuring, I suppose, and watching it must be reassuring for most people as well.
Well, speak for our audience, why don't you? And Dan Weston, how are you doing, Dan?
Yeah, I am good. I've had a really good day today with my boys at Leicester, having a decent first day against Max's Surrey, and my RCB in the qualifying position when the IPL was suspended. So, win-win.
Well, we were saying on the last episode, actually, that I think this means that Delhi are going to have the longest ever streak as the team top of the IPL, which is you know, silver linings and all. Ross, before we get into the show, I should also mention we're going to do a big Q&A on this episode. After we've talked about our little bits, we'll take as many questions as people have. So let us know in the chat. Ross will be keeping an eye on that. But before we, get into your duds 11, Ross, can you give us some messages, or can you give our listeners some messages?
Yep. So we are now sponsored by Woodstock Cricket. So if you need a good cricket bat, they are the place to go, and you can find them in the show notes as well as on our Twitter, and follow them at Woodstock Cricket. I've got one of their cricket bats, and I've turned into a good batsman overnight. So it's really quite staggering. And then you should also follow us at The Cricket Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and like and subscribe. We can see people are watching this video, so like and subscribe to it if you haven't done so already, and tell your friends about it. That's what we really want.
Exactly. Which one of you two would like to go first? Do you want to start with the duds and apportioning blame effectively, or do we want to talk about some positive stories? Ross, what do you reckon?
I think it was quite a dour show earlier on in the week. So I think, Dan, let's come in with a bit of kind of positivity first and foremost, and then we can build up to who we think actually let everybody down.
Let's do it. Okay, so what I did was, with this, five players to have on my side for recruitment. Like, it's not about who the best players are necessarily. It's about the value in the market, where are the rare skill sets. And the rare skill sets that I look for, if I was to recruit in the IPL at least, would be aggressive local batters, because there's a gazillion 120 to 130 strike rate local batters. So we want a lot more than that. Genuine all-rounders. And by genuine all-rounders, I mean like all-rounders who have like 15 plus balls bowling on average, not like your Moises Henriquez, who, although he did bowl a little bit here, or even the Stokes, who doesn't bowl like four over quota very often. Though that to me is not necessarily a genuine all rounder. I want someone who bowls his three or four overs more often than not and bats in the top six, or is Russell basically, or I also look for bowling options from an aggressive top six batter because it's so good for team structure, flexibility and matchups, particularly if that batter is a spinner. I look for death bowlers because they're a really scarce resource. And we've seen in the IPL that the backup players are not nearly as good often compared to the superstars. And finally, a world-class leg spinner because, yeah, there's a lot of good local leg spinners in India. Are they all world class? No. So that's having a world class leg spinner, as Sunrisers Hyderabad have found out throughout the years, is massive. So actually, I went over and above the requirements. And I went for five overseas and five domestics.
That's really massive. Good. Yeah.
So we'll go overseas first. If that's all right.
Yeah, let's do overseas first. Cool.
Okay. So predictable names: Rashid Khan. World-class leg spinner.
I didn't think you'd go for him, to be honest. I thought there'd be a different leg spinner that you...
What's his favourite?
Oh, donut boy.
And I also went for Andre Russell, unsurprisingly, as that all-rounder, the pace all-rounder, who certainly could bat in the top six, but KKR sometimes bafflingly choose not to do so. And if we're not looking at like a 3 or 4 year retention cycle, AB de Villiers, because the guy is unbelievable. And for my opinion, he's the best batter in the competition year in, year out, pretty much. If you look at that sweet spot between balls per dismissal and boundary percentage, he's the only one who's up there consistently in being well above average for both. I got seduced by a couple of spin all-rounders who bat in the top six who are aggressive boundary hitters. And I went for Glenn Maxwell and Moeen Ali, who both had excellent tournaments this year. And these players are super valuable for team building and flexibility, having that spin option in the top six. So we spoke in previous pods, and eventually the chaps at RCB got the memo because you don't need to play Sundar when you've got Maxwell, who bowls service ball matchup off spin, and then you can just pick another batter instead. So they're my five overseas.
It's quite interesting on that point around how RCB used Moeen Ali and how they used Glenn Maxwell, because actually they're very similar players, right, Dan? But actually the way in which they used Moeen Ali was a little bit different beforehand, and I think it's quite interesting just to see that kind of where, I don't know, whether it's reputational or whether it's force of personality or whether it is just a change in tactics of going, oh, this didn't work, we're going to try it differently with someone else. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think Moeen Ali was criminally underused by RCB last year when you can look at their team balance. And I think that Maxwell has really kind of taken that role. And as you say, they're quite similar players in terms of aggressive batters who bat in the top six and bowl off spin. Mo, I think, is a better player of spin. And I think that both of them are just, you know, exceptionally talented players and assets at this level, assets to any franchise, in my opinion.
One name I may be a little bit surprised not to hear, unless I completely detune, because I did read the chat for a little bit right at the beginning of the answer, to be honest. Chris Morris, Dan.
Yeah, so I quite like Chris Morris, and he was probably, if I was to pick six, he might have been a contender for that sixth spot, because his death bowling numbers are good, very, very good. His pace finishing is good, but there's still downsides, I think, to Chris Morris in terms of you can't bat him any higher up the order because his strike rate against spin is pretty weak, and so he really is just pigeonholing that finisher role. And the question is, while he's an excellent death bowler, where do you get the other phase output out of him as well with the ball? So you've got to find two overs somewhere where he's probably around average-ish kind of expected performance level. So not quite the full package. But I think he's obviously a very, very good player and done well this year. Fitness doubts a little bit as well in terms of, if I want a marquee player, I want them pretty much guaranteed to play week in, week out.
And I'm assuming Jofra Archer would be there or thereabouts normally too.
Yeah, in normal circumstances, if fit, absolutely, yeah.
Cool. Did you see, I think it was today or yesterday, Graham Smith came out and said because of the IPL finishing early, actually Chris Morris, Imran Tahir and some of those other people could well be on the tour or the South Africa tour to the West Indies. So they could actually be back in the reckoning for the World Cup. And I mean, they would have a pretty good World Cup 11, old South Africa, if some of those players, some of the franchise players really came back in with a new fresh attitude, I suppose.
Yeah, they need some more players, and they certainly need some hitters as well. And Morris, I think, obviously kind of fits that bracket as a lower order player, at least.
Yeah, they also need a reasonably old-looking old lady. And so Imran Tahir fits that bill quite well as well.
Shall we flip over and hear about the five or six Indian players that you identified that you think hot then, Dan?
Yeah, yeah. So I want players who can grow with the franchise. So we're looking at a 3 or 4 year retention window. And I don't see anyone who fits the bill better than Devdutt Padikkal. And I'm sure that he's going to be dramatically more expensive to retain for RCB than the, I think they pay only 20 lakh for him when they picked him up a couple of years ago. So yeah, he's the future superstar of Indian cricket, in my opinion. The fact that he's left-handed as well is super useful for combos and disrupting the opposition as well. So yeah, why wouldn't you want to keep him on board? I'd be amazed if RCB didn't retain him or right to match him at some stage. The other batter I've picked out of the group is Sanju Samson, who I really like, and I think he's quite underrated. He's like that intent machine that I speak about quite a lot that I really like, and he's a wicketkeeper as well, which is really useful. Now, the reason why I think wicketkeepers are really useful is because there aren't that many who, in my opinion, merit their position purely as a batter out of the local playing pool. So having one who does is I think pretty massive. And that's often a weakness in the domestic player pool in various countries, is like sometimes if you want to pick up a local keeper, you've got to compromise on the hitting, and that's tricky here. And so having Samson kind of ticks that box as well. So I like that. Again, can grow with the franchise that I'm theoretically building as well. Moving down the batting order, if you like, we wanted a genuine all-rounder, and assuming his injury problems are behind him, we get that from Hardik Pandya, plus he's an aggressive local batter as well. So he ticks a double tick box there. Also as an all-round option is Jadeja, who's just absolute shoo-in, in my opinion. I picked a team who I would draft on Twitter, and he was in that team. If I had 85 crore to pick 11 players at their last sale price, mm-hmm. he was in my team. Because just adds batting depth. We've seen an explosion in terms of his hitting ability. And bowls good legs, left-arm spin as well. So that's perfect. And the final player is... there's no other player that I could possibly pick as death bowler than Jasprit Bumrah. We can ignore the 56 or 4 overs the other day. That's an anomaly. This guy is the best in the business. And yeah, I would be stupid not to pick him.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised by any of those picks. Obviously, there are a couple of big names that didn't make the cut. Why do you hate Kohli, Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul, Dan?
Kohli has a low boundary percentage, and we've spoken about a gazillion times about how he can get to 25 or 25 or 20 or 20 or roll around about those figures and get out, and that's a massive problem. His intent against spin in the middle overs is a major issue, and plus he's going to be really expensive, and I don't want a player who fits the bill. I just to give you guys a quick heads up on like batting recruitment, for example, the ballpark average for the better batting comps in the world is between 16 and 17% is the average boundary percentage. So that's ballpark 1 in 6 balls, so 1 ball and over your team have to hit to be average, right? And I draw a line pretty much under every single player who's under 16%. So unfortunately, that means I've drawn a line under Virat Kohli. Now, where do we have any other player? Who else were the other players, Jack? Sorry?
KL Rahul.
KL Rahul, well, I think we'll leave that question to Ross. he can put that far more succinctly than I ever could.
and the third was Rohit Sharma.
I don't want to spend big money on a 33-year-old.
Fair enough. I think maybe a follow-up question to this, Dan, because this has been really illuminating, and I sort of wanted to pick your brains on some of this in terms of how you would go about recruiting, or who the targets would be. Were you, you know, one of the new franchises is there, and there is a complete free-for-all at the auction. It's interesting to hear who you go for. Like, that isn't going to be the case, unfortunately, is it, for, I don't know, the Pune Super Warriors or whatever they'll be called when they, when they're back in it, and the, Gujarat Lions II. Who do you think any of those sort of targets that you've identified will be in the auction pool? And assuming the answer is probably going to be no, who do you reckon the best of the rest might be come what, January next year?
Well, that's the question.
It's a pretty tough one as well.
There's a lot of time to go before the mega auction. I think that there's more chance of the overseas players being available potentially than the locals. I think the locals will be snapped up, either retained or right to matched. But the thing is, when you're in an auction environment, let's just say, for sake of argument, Sunrisers released Rashid Khan with the view to right to match him. Okay, so you're a rival franchise who isn't Sunrisers, okay? You lose nothing by just non-stop bidding against Sunrisers because they're going to probably pay like 20 crore for him. So you may as well just like keep bidding. And if you win it because they don't want to right to match anymore, then you've got a world-class player. So yeah, the best spinner in the comp. So there's not much to lose. I think the locals will all get picked up. Those five locals that I mentioned will all get picked up. I'd be amazed. And as far as who I would pick, I would just get Mumbai's cast-offs to start with. That would be a good starting point, I think.
Not Nathan Coulter-Nile, though. Don't pick up Nathan Coulter-Nile.
Right, that's really interesting, Dan. Thank you for preparing all of that. If we've got time right at the end, you had like an unplayed 11. Mm. So maybe we'll hear that, but we'll do. Yep. We'll stick with the schedule. We'll hear Ross's failures 11, and then we'll get to some questions. Someone in the chat, I can't remember who it was, made a really good point that we should be telling people to like and subscribe as we go through. So here you go. Here's your warning right now. There are 96 people watching. That's pretty good. If you all hit like, YouTube will love that. We'll beat the algorithm. And if you all hit subscribe, the next time we do this, it'll be a bigger Cricket Podcast family, won't it, Ross? Let's go through your duds 11. Where do you want to start?
Well, first and foremost, Akash has just put in the chat, KL Rahul, Rahane or Steve Smith, who would you rather have? That is not a very nice question, I don't think. In that look, it's not going to be Steve. If this was, should we do Stog, marry a void on Steve Smith, KL Rahul and Ajinkya Rahane?
Yeah, let's do that. That's a good idea, yeah.
All right, Jack, you can go first then. Would Stog, marry a void, KL Rahul, Steve Smith and Ajinkya Rahane?
I think it would. I'd have to avoid Steve Smith. I don't think I could spend any time with him. I think he'd be too annoying. Marry Rahane. I think he's solid, dependable. He'll be there for you. Might not always deliver the goods, but you know he's trying his best. And I think, you know, the one-hit wonder is going to be KL Rahul, isn't he? Because he fancies himself as a bit of a flair player. He calls himself King Legend. That's a player move. I think that'd be a good snog, Ross.
I think you've nailed it, mate. I think if we were to do a TV show on Snog, Marry, Avoid cricketers, you'd be number one ranked there, mate. That was superb. Right, let's get into the duds 11 then. So the duds 11 was raised on the last podcast, and it's pretty much made of people who should have performed better, people who caused their team to lose, people who are far short of the form we have come to expect of them, and Tom Curran. So that's first and foremost. I think we need to like contextualise this in terms of kind of almost like a sponsoring franchise. So congratulations to Sunrisers Hyderabad. You are the dud franchise. Baffling team selection throughout. Mid-season captaincy swap. Never looks good. Rarely, if at all, goes well. Internal power struggles, which spill out onto mysterious Tom Moody-esque tweets to random data analysts and team analysts. And just all-round shitness, really. So well done, Sunrisers. Would any of you disagree with that one? I mean, Punjab Kings and the way they've been run this year have a bit of a thing to say, maybe, but It's got to be.
They also have won a few matches, haven't they? Like they, despite, you know, despite really actively trying to undermine themselves, they have on occasion, like, accidentally managed to get it right just through sheer strength of talent. Can't say the same for Sunrisers.
What about KKR?
Oh, yeah,
it's a good one, isn't it? I think.
Mm-hmm. See, when we talk about players getting retained, I wonder if Russell might put a transfer request in.
Could he do that? Could he just drop an opt out of the auction for next year and then?
I think the players have to agree to the retention.
Okay, so he could.
I could be wrong, but I would say it's pretty fair. I would say it would be unreasonable otherwise, but yeah.
Okay, so the Dud 11 is the flop 11, just to clear up some of the things in the chat. So opening the batting is my favourite ball eater. Is the man who lost his team's games with his approach and fundamentally values his stats over winning the game. Some people may say that it's the captaincy of Punjab Kings that puts all the pressure on him because he can't trust anyone else to hit the runs. That's not what a leader does. So KL Rahul is number one in the block Dud 11. Number two, I was going to put Manan Vora in this for the Rajasthan Royals, but genuinely, he's not a flop, is he? He's just rubbish. Like, there's no surprise there that he fundamentally underperformed just a normal elite cricketer's ability. So Manan Vora doesn't get into the Dud 11. New supreme opening batsman for the Indian Test team, however, Shubman Gill does take number two.
Yeah,
that's actually pretty astute. I like that, Ross. You've clearly thought about that because Manan Vora was the obvious choice. Mm-hmm. But Shubman Gill did have a little bit of a disappointing IPL, hasn't he? I've actually brought up KL Rahul's stats as well because I know he's had a couple of good innings, but that strike rate is still only 136, despite, you know, notching 331 runs over the tournament at an average of 66. So I think you could probably justify that, although I'm sure it will be controversial. So it's a good start. Who have we got coming in at number three? The key man in Australian lineups.
This is the rock star. And it was really harsh for me to put him in here, but the rock star with the earring and the mullet, Ishan Kishan, is coming in first drop for me this year. Purely on the fact that expectations on Ishan Kishan this year were sky high. He was the standout batsman in last year's IPL. And there was a question, I think, in one of the first previews we did around how Mumbai Indians are actually going to adapt playing to Chennai. And actually, he really, really struggled and couldn't find himself back in the team because of all kinds of different reasons around the balance, etc. But I think his top score maybe was 28 in the competition this year. Drastic underperformance. Is that too harsh? Or
I think that's reasonably fair. If it's not just bad players 11, if it's like how well do they do versus their expected performance, then yeah, definitely.
Dan, what are you thinking on that?
Yeah, well, he was a victim of Chaport, wasn't it? Chaport pretty much chewed him up and spat him out. It was really sad to see, actually, because this guy is supremely talented. I think he's got a massive future, but he was a victim of the venue. And I think if I never saw another match at Chaport, I'd be happy.
There's two people on the podcast, you and Jack, both on that train. This is going to keep all of the fans happy who always have a go at us. Oh, go, Jack.
Can I question? Can Chaport be where their home ground is for this Dud 11?
Okay. Yeah. That's the Dud venue. That is the Dud venue, is the Chaport. So coming up for number four, and this is going to keep everyone happy, is Owen Morgan. And he is the captain of the side. I think fundamentally he has been pretty right. I think he did well in one game, but actually he is the linchpin in that KKR side. He is put by every piece of English media and even in the Indian media during last year's IPL as a supreme leader, an incredible captain, etc. And actually, it's all the wheels have fallen off KKR this year.
Average 15 with a strike rate of 112 in the IPL this year, Dan. That's bad, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, his numbers over the last couple of years, we're talking about all comps, internationals, everything, are not bad. But he has struggled in the IPL. I don't think there's many two ways about it over the most of his career. It is interesting that Ross made him captain on it. I'm still yet to kind of go through all the hundreds of matches that he's played in T20. But I have a really strong theory that he's a much better ODI captain than T20 captain.
Fair. That is very fair. Number five. And it probably shouldn't be this high, but Rajasthan Royals decided to play him in his high position. It's the Jew. It is Shivan Dubey. We're still not sure what exactly is a Shivan Dubey, because he's neither that. I think it was an innings where he hit about, I think he hit 50, and just about it almost justified his place in the team. And he's just like, we can't drop him now. He's the only guy kind of hitting runs, and yet he does it so slowly. And he just looks like one of those people who, I don't know, he's got an athlete's body, so he must be good at cricket. And actually, it just doesn't really translate that well. He's not got the best technique. He's not got the best intent. Like, bit of a bits and pieces player, and ultimately just quite a disappointment to me and probably his parents. So that's just the kind of way it goes.
There's one person. Rickon's pointed this out. Where's Nicholas Pooran?
He was awful, and he's actually coming in at sixth here.
He's been relegated down the dud 11 batting lineup. Yeah,
it's a sad day for Lucas Burad, but Mr. Binary is he had a shocker, didn't he, this year? Like, if you think around where he was in the T10 competition, where I think he had a strike rate of over 350, but this guy was like Prithvi Shaw in the last IPL. He was holding the bat the wrong way around, couldn't buy a run if he wanted to. I think he got out in every conceivable way to record a duck, including being run out without facing a ball. So I think the IPL suspension has come at a good time for Nicholas Pooran, as he could have recorded an even worse return than Glenn Maxwell did last year.
Yeah, he's probably one of the few people who's looking forward to quarantine after what he's been through.
I'd agree with that. So number seven, and this is a little bit difficult because Dan, I think you've got to mention how good Hardik Pandya has been for India, for the Mumbai Indians, and he did only strike at 118 with an average of 8 this year, so that's obviously not very good. But even though that is happening, Vijay Shankar still takes number 7.
Do you know what, right? When you said Hardik Pandya, I was like, where's Shankar?
We've summed it up before. Is that if he is the answer, what is the question? And I think his repeated kind of, I don't know, trust from the Sunrisers is just baffling. The guy, when he was picked for India, was clearly not good enough when he was playing in that Indian team. Like, why is he here every single day of the week playing Sunrisers Hyderabad? He's not good enough, and he thoroughly deserves his space at number 7. Number 8, again, as if Max was here, he'd be a little bit disappointed, but is Lord Shardul Thakur.
He didn't have a great tournament, did he? No, and we sort of in the England India series, we were sort of waiting for him to blow up. It's a little bit of a shame for England fans that it happened a little bit late for England. Mm-hmm. It might help as well that England have got about 400 left-handers in their top 6, but he was actually quite trash in the IPL. One of the few CSK players who didn't seem to, you know, deliver, really, wasn't he, Dan?
Yeah, so obviously CSK had a great tournament prior to the postponement, or what do we call it? I don't know. Yeah, delays. Thakur, I don't get Thakur. I ran through his numbers over the last 3 years. I think last time I was on the pod, but 5 wickets at an average of over 50, and an economy of 10.33 kind of sums up his tournament pretty well, I think. Yeah, very, very. Well, I didn't have high expectations for him, but he disappointed those mediocre expectations even more, I think.
And CSK have struggled in that department for a little while, really, haven't they? I mean, they've also got Ngidi, who's not got the best stats, but he's a little bit younger and has a bit of a higher ceiling. But again,
I quite like him.
Yeah, there is that opportunity to grow. But Thakur, like, I think we talk about recency bias when it comes to auctions, and actually the expectation of Thakur was so high because he performed so well against England. So it's unfortunate for him. By the way, I do have 3 people as reserves, and some people will have to guess those at the end. We're in at 9 is obviously the man, the legend, the headband wearing bandit. It is Tom Curran.
He was nailed on, wasn't he? If ever there was a team he was nailed on for, this was the team.
Yeah, it's the England team or or the dud team. He only played 2 games, and I was going to put a bit of a caveat on this. They would have had to play at least like 4 games. But he was just it's just completely found out as a bowler by the batsman at this level. And it's going to take, I think it's probably a good thing that the tournament comes to this point for him, but he needs to go away and really think about what he's trying to do in that kind of space, because at the moment he's not going to last too long at this level. And I mean, I still can't believe to this day they barely spent over £500,000 on Tom Curran.
Yeah.
But his figures for this year's tournament were 7.4 overs bowled, 1 for 75. So thanks for coming, Tom Curran. Number 10 is Riley Meredith. He got rid of his moustache, should have kept it, because clearly that's where all his talent was. And he really lit it. I mean, Jai Richardson could possibly have been in here, but I generally think he's been badly used by Punjab Kings, and you can't turn around and say that it's his fault. Riley Meredith, on the other hand, bowled like a drain. And then number 11, if you play at Chennai and you are a leg spinner, you are supposed to get wickets. If you play pretty much every game for RCB, you're supposed to get wickets. Chahal did not get wickets. I think he got 4 for the tournament. He looked like a man bereft of confidence, and he was, I couldn't believe they kept on picking him, but what other option did they really have?
They didn't have another option, and he was bad. I think that was just a really good 11, Ross. Your reserves. I want to hear about these reserves.
Washington Sundar. Sundar's number one.
I was going to say Mahendra Singh Dhoni. Is he?
Mahendra Singh Dhoni is the reserve wicketkeeper, correct.
I thought you were going to bat Dhoni at 11 in your team.
That would have been funny. Well, I think Dhoni, at least in one game, promoted himself 2-4 to kind of be like, I've still got it a little bit, but I mean...
Is the third one Glenn Maxwell for being so bad last year that it carries over?
He's actually Quinton de Kock, which, because he is again an elite level opener, but actually against the turning ball, he's got a major issue there. And depending on how the IPL plays out over the next couple, I'm not sure you want him to be playing for the opening up. I was surprised that Chris Lynn didn't actually get more of a run in the side, but Chris Lynn also isn't the best against spin based upon what I know and love about cricket. But Quinton de Kock was lucky to be there. So that wraps up kind of my duds and flops of the tournament. I mean, Rikin Patel's come straight and said he's happy, very happy with the team. So thank you very much for that. And I think there's some good agreements. Kedar Yadav, he doesn't qualify for this team. He's already shit everybody. Like, no, nobody was expecting anything from Kedar Yadav, were they?
Not really. Although, didn't he have... Anyway, let's move on. Thanks, Ross. That actually genuinely was really interesting. Yeah. Well put together. Very well thought through. We've got a few questions from Twitter, and then we'll head to the chat. The first one was from Miss Panda 241, which was sort of just generally about who we thought did well and badly. I think we've kind of answered that over the last half an hour, so we're going to skip that one, Miss Panda 241. And we'll move on to Vinay, who is a regular question answer asker for this podcast. Dan, this is one for you. And you can maybe only answer this from afar unless you've got some inside info. But I think it's an interesting one. Which is the team who make best use of analysis during this last IPL, and did it pay off in terms of the outcome?
That's such a good question. I don't really know for sure because I'm not privy to the inside workings of these franchises. However, based on the fact that I have detailed data on every player, every venue, blah, 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 I would go as far as to say that I don't think any of them use data particularly well. I think it's probably reasonable to suggest that Mumbai have the most thorough scouting process year on year. We've seen that, and that's manifested itself into long-term success for the franchise. I think KKR tried to use data this year, but just purely speaking as an outsider, which is all I can do, I would say that they used data in play, but they kind of forgot to do it at auction. So it will be interesting to see how they approach the major auction next year, because you can't do one and not the other, in my opinion. It's got to be kind of joined up.
Cool. Ross, this one I'm going to throw over to you. So this is kind of two questions in one. So we've got Sonny, who asks, can Hyderabad make a comeback in the second half of the IPL later this year? And the second one's from Rickham, who first of all asks, what was your favourite team collapse of the tournament? And second, do you think the top four will stay the top four even when this tournament resumes?
So I think questions one and two out of the three that you've asked, I think are probably the same bit. So I don't think the Sunrisers have any chance of coming back into this tournament. I think they're hoping that the season gets voided, I think is the thing, and it gets expunged from the records. And I think their collapse from where they were starting out the tournament, because they had a strong bowling lineup with Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Natarajan, Rashid Khan, etc. They had one of the world's best ever T20 players. And regardless of what you think about David Warner now, still on paper, they had such a strong side. And the expectation was actually quite high, I think, for them. I think a lot of pundits were sitting there going, actually, this is really their opportunity. But fundamentally, we talked about how structurally they set up. And they actually imploded on themselves because of their poor structure. And so that is my favourite collapse of that bit. And I think the other question, which I'm just struggling to remember.
The top four now, will they stay the top four, basically, when this tournament kicks off again?
I'm not so sure. So I think, and Dan, you're probably going to shoot me down this, but I think like form and rhythm is such a big part of this kind of stuff. And when you get on a roll in a tournament, it is difficult to stop that momentum. Like there's a confidence, there is kind of a team spirit, there's just people knowing their game inside and out. And I mean, Glenn Maxwell is a perfect example of that. From Punjab Kings last year, didn't hit a six, to this year actually being a great player in between Kohli and AB de Villiers. So I actually think someone like CSK or even RCB, actually, because I mean, Harsha Patel's not going to be like taking another 17 wickets in the last eight games of the tournament. So I can actually see potentially someone like Rajasthan Royals actually squeaking in. I mean, if Jofra Archer comes back, that's a huge, huge element for them, right? And if David Miller's then replaced by it probably will be Ben Stokes, but maybe someone better than David Miller, then they've got a great opportunity there. Shreyas Iyer coming back into Delhi makes them stronger, I think, because they can get rid of Steve Smith in that overseas spot and then use Henrik Nokia to do it. So I think they stay in that bracket, whereas Mumbai Indians are Mumbai Indians, right? They are just going to Mumbai Indian. So fair play.
The last one from Twitter came from Vijay, and he asks, will the cancellation of the IPL, if it is cancelled, and the estimated loss of $350 million, have an impact on the BCCI and Indian cricket in the long term? So like, will there be less tours? Will the Indian team be less effective? So first of all, I think they probably will finish this tournament at some point. I'd be surprised if they didn't. So I think they'll probably recoup a lot of the money that, on paper, they're losing at the moment. Secondly, I don't think that this particular blip will have a massive impact on Indian cricket. I think it's the smaller nations, actually, that we might see I think there might be a bit of a time lag effect that affects West Indies or South Africa or Sri Lanka in terms of where the big three, so England, Australia and India, decide to go on tour over the next 4 or 5 years. I think there might be a little bit of money chasing from those three boards in terms of the tournaments they allow their players to play in terms of, you know, where they go on tour and for how long. And I think that's probably who will be affected. I can't really see India getting worse anytime soon. I don't know if anyone disagrees with that.
No, I think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's pretty much everything from Twitter. I will say just at this point, again, hit like and hit subscribe and we'll beat the YouTube algorithm. That's our new target. Beat the robot. We don't want to lose to a robot, do we? The one thing that I thought I wanted to talk about before we go on to messages from the chat, and I think it's probably come up in the chat a few times, was that ESPN Crick Info today reported that Middlesex, Surrey, Warwickshire and Lancashire had made some kind of proposal to host the second half of the IPL in England in September. So that would mean matches at the Oval, Lords, Edgbaston and Old Trafford. Dan, as somebody, probably the person here who's most in cricket, if that makes sense, do you think this is a serious suggestion based on your experience in the game? And two, do you think it could be pulled off, bearing in mind that these counties will be playing matches at this time?
Yeah, okay, so where do we even start? I think I mean, I think the logistics of the future tours program is something that will have to be taken into account, because there's going to be players who are either going to be unavailable to come to play in the IPL, or they're going to be unavailable to play for their national team. And I think a lot of the time we know who wins in those kind of tug of wars. But from a kind of organisational standpoint, yeah, I don't see it being a major problem if these teams are, or these venues are organised and want to make it happen. And I'm sure that there'll be some financial incentives for that to happen probably as well. But the one thing I would say in England is that there are a number of grounds who have hotels built into them. I think about almost half of the counties now have got hotels built on site in the ground. So I guess it makes it a lot easier to have a kind of a secure bubble without having to actually travel to the venues. So that makes a real positive for England as a point of difference over, I think, maybe a lot of other countries who don't have those facilities. Personally, I mean, I've seen some of the chat comments. Would you go to the matches? Yeah, I'd love to go to the match.
I genuinely would be so excited. I don't love going to cricket when it's cold, but if the cricket was the IPL, I mean, Ross, we'd be straight
in
the Oval.
I was going to go last year. I literally had flights booked. Tickets to the IPL games in five different Indian cities. Like, it would be, I mean, I want to go to India, but I mean, that would be unbelievable to see Kieran Pollard kind of smashing somebody out of the Oval. And I mean, won't quite reach the Thames, that would be a serious hit, but that'd be great to watch.
I think that you guys should do a cricket podcast live from an English ground if they have the IPL there. Cricket podcast and friends or something like that would be amazing. And I did sort of try and say to my wife at one point that, you know, she wants to go to a Mumbai match, and like maybe if they have it at Edgbaston, it might be a little bit cheaper for me to organise a ticket than it will if it's in India.
I think there's actually a genuine possibility this will happen as well, because obviously it's like quite speculative. But I suspect that the BCCI's destination of choice will still be the UAE. Because they've run a tournament there before, well, a couple of times, haven't they? Because it worked, because they can guarantee the bubble. But I think, like, all signs in this country suggest that in September, it will probably be absolutely fine to hold a cricket tournament, probably with fairly minimal restrictions in terms of what you'd need as a bubble, in terms of the crowds that could come in. It would be a real spectacle. The downside, of course, is that it rains a lot in this country, so you'd have to accept the possibility that, I don't know, five or six of those matches don't get played, and probably another five or six are significantly shortened, which is unlikely to happen in a desert in the UAE. But I'm all for it. I would love it so much. I think the other thing to bear in mind is there's an election in the UK today to elect the mayor of London. And Sadiq Khan is a big sports guy. He's like being integral in getting, well, Major League Baseball to the UK, in getting the NFL to the UK, in getting the NBA to the UK. He's talked openly about getting IPL matches played in London. It's a big thing for him to, you know, boost the profile of the city. He's going to win that election, almost certainly.
Yes, we can.
They'll have a significant stakeholder there who'll try and back this bid, I think. So, you know, fingers crossed. It'd be really cool. Ross, let's go over to the chat. We've left these. We've dragged out the rest of the show for as long as possible. We've got a good 20 minutes or so to answer loads of questions.
Yep.
Over to you, man.
Okay, so Swaraj, we've already answered your one around how well the IPL would be received there. So thanks so much for your question. We've got all kinds of Dan. Have we touched upon the hiring people in our analytics department? Have we touched upon this one?
No, not really.
So Subame has asked: Rajasthan Royals are hiring people for their analytics department. Have you applied?
Okay, so first of all, I actually listened to a podcast this week and I heard that RRR recruiting for their analytics department. So I might try and do a little bit of research about it. But the thing is with me is that I don't think I'm everyone's cup of tea, because I'm very, very honest. I will speak the truth no matter who the person is in charge of a team, or who the captain is, or who the big name is. I think that the teams that I work for at the moment, I think they value that. I think that that's a positive, but I also think that in a lot of other people's eyes, that's a negative as well. So I'm open to offers from IPL franchises, unsurprisingly. But by the same token, I'm not going to go in and be someone's yes man. I'm not going to go in and just say, so it's just a box ticking exercise. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror to do that. And I think a lot of IPL coaches or support staff do that at the moment. They take the money and they just take the easy money and they don't ask too many questions and don't challenge authority. And that's up to them. That's fine. I couldn't do that. So if I was to get a role, it would have to be a role where I would have influence and a say in stuff, and there would be significant buy-in from the team management. And I think that's kind of a prerequisite for me.
God, I mean, that's such a good speech, Dan, that you should be on the electoral kind of options today, mate. I'd vote for Weston.
Would you vote for me, Ross? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Sathwick has asked, should Dhawan be India's first choice opener? I'm guessing this is in T20 cricket. Jack, I mean, he's had a brilliant tournament, right? And I think it's a great combination that he's got with Prithvi Shaw. But I mean, there's a little issue with Kohli. They love KL Rahul. They've got Rohit Sharma.
They've got Ishan Kishan as well. I think it was one of those situations where Shikhar Dhawan is probably going to be one of the guys who has to miss out. Dan, maybe you can speak to this in a little bit more detail. He probably doesn't have the really explosive high gear that can differentiate himself.
Yeah.
From some of the competition, and you don't. So in the IPL, The role, he's got such clear role definition there, and in terms of the other players that could fill that spot of Delhi, I mean, like, obviously that you're going to go with him. But if you look at every other team in the IPL, they've also got an Indian batter who can fulfill that position. I think it's basically what I'm trying to get at is that I think he's really good. He's an excellent IPL batter, but I think because of the quality that India have in general, he wouldn't make it into my Indian team.
Yeah. I think another valid point there with Shikhar Dhawan is that he turns 36 this year, and it's not a forward-thinking selection. And so, for me, I would look to try and push Paddy Cowell as the new big thing, if that makes sense. I would much rather invest time and effort into a younger player who could perhaps play for the best part of 10 or 15 years than a 35-year-old who's still going to be no better than a quick fix, unfortunately.
So, but on that point, Dan, actually, you kind of touch upon an interesting thing there around building for the future and what happens.
Yeah,
It's kind of like the England football team, right? They always say, oh, think of the next tournament, think of the next tournament. You've got a tournament right in front of you. You've got Shikhar Dhawan, who this is his last rodeo, right? And there are other people. Like, it's probably Rohit Sharma's last World Cup as well. You're not going to drop Rohit Sharma out of that side. So I think it's... I'm not sure India as well will buy into the whole let's blood in Devdutt Padukal. I think they've
I can understand that. But by the same token, if Shikhar Dhawan comes and plays or Rohit Sharma or anyone who's like sort of in their mid-30s comes and plays these tournaments, they're also taking experience away from those younger players, because let's just say this is their last tournament and India win the tournament or whatever the result of India have in a tournament. They're going to have to rip the script up straight away after that. If you have a team of 30-plus-year-olds, you have to rip the script up. And by doing that, you're denying all these young players the opportunity to get experience of playing in a major tournament at a young age, which is invaluable to them, and you're hindering their development for that quick fix. I firmly believe in that kind of promotion of young players. If you look at the county age groups for average ages for the county teams right now, I do it every week as part of my role, and Leicestershire are consistently one of the youngest teams in the country, because that's something that it's something that us as a club wanted to do, but it's also something I'm very passionate about as well. I want to give young players the opportunity to improve, and not that Shikhar Dhawan is a journeyman, because he's not, but I'm not interested in like journeyman players with limited upside. I want to find the next superstars and ensure that they have the best platform to show their talent in a trusted environment environment where they're not going to be sort of dropped after a couple of games if they have a low score, which has happened to so many young people in international cricket over the last forever, basically. I want a platform for these players to show their talent and to show what they can really do, because I genuinely believe that if you give Padukal the right backing, he could be an absolute superstar.
Can I just point out one final thing on the Dharwan front? And this, again, I think we've all sort of agreed that he's changed his game somewhat and is more effective now. But he only has 1 year where he's struck at more than 140 in the IPL. And as consistent as he is and as brilliant as he can be, I think India can aspire to somebody who has a little bit more punch than that, basically.
Yeah. I mean, in the chat, so... Tejas, we definitely will be covering the World Cup. 100% will be covering that. But Akash has brought up a point today. Padukal and Kishan are inconsistent. Can't take risks in World Cup by picking them. And actually, if you look at England and what they did with the ODI side, their whole game is built around risk and reward and actually taking those risks and picking those players who can hit out. And actually, when it comes to that inconsistency, like T20 is by its nature inconsistent. Someone's not going to hit at 300 every single game. That's just not going to happen. And I don't think that is the right approach. And I think that's why kind of India, definitely before the India versus England series, they probably went with that approach. Whereas as they beat England with a kind of a different lineup, a different attitude, Sky came in, etc., I think we will see a bit of a change up.
Why do you need Dharwan if you've got Kohli?
Yeah.
Because he does the old woohoo when he's celebrating.
If you are genuinely worried about consistency, then why you've got the most consistent batter.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to take some exception as well. This is the thing with me. You're gonna get honesty. I don't buy this inconsistency argument about Devdutt Padukal. I mean, didn't he get like 4 or 5 50s last season in a row at the start of the tournament? I mean, I'm not quite sure what more consistency you actually want. And he's actually played 21 IPL matches and averages 25 balls per dismissal. Now, by my metrics and the way I grade players, that is extremely consistent. In fact, that's almost anchor-ish. And when you consider the upside of him in strike rate and boundary hitting as well, complete package.
Well, Anand has come in and replied to Akash saying that Padukal is the most consistent youngster. What are you smoking? But we still like you, Akash. Don't worry. We've got a good point across there. So thanks very much for your question. Another question, and actually we'll come to an Akash one here. So will the T20 World Cup be moved away to the UAE or another country? I think yes is probably the answer, isn't it, gents? I don't think there's 400,000 cases in India yesterday, and I'm guessing the situation isn't going to be much better today. It's going to last for quite a while. So, I can definitely see it being moved. It just depends where. Let's ask Dan this one from Manraj. Which 5 players should Punjab Kings look to retain ahead of the mega auction?
He thinks
it's Ball Eater, Puran, Agarwal, Bishnoi, and either Harpreet Brah or Mohammed Shami. What do you think in this space?
This is such an awkward one because I think that there's what I think they will do is probably quite a bit different to what I would do, and I don't know whether they want me to discuss what I would do or what they would do. So I can guarantee
what would you do, Dan? I think
okay. So I mean, assuming that we're on a similar price. And you can call me mad if you want to, and that's absolutely fine. I would retain Puran because the long-term upside's there, and he's just going to be one of those players who's the equivalent of Glenn Maxwell, just goes and plays amazingly for someone else. So I would look to retain Puran all day. I think he's the absolute shining light of their franchise in terms of overseas players right now. I wouldn't look to retain any of the other overseas players, primarily because I am extremely ruthless when it comes to overseas players, and I think most of the time you can buy them back cheaper in auction. And out of those players, I would look to jettison them all, but look to buy back Jai Richardson in auction for a lot cheaper than 14 crore. As I think Jack, you said earlier that you think that they've kind of mismanaged him. I would agree with that, and I think he's an excellent young player and has someone who's really got long term potential. And I think with like a 3 or 4 year cycle, he's someone who can really grow into the tournament a lot more. And we can pick him up for a lower price. That's absolutely fine. I would look to retain Bishnoi as a good domestic leg spinner. I thought it was absolutely nuts that they picked Murugan Ashwin ahead of him in the first part of the tournament. I mean, Bishnoi is potentially could be the next cab off the rank in terms of the best Indian domestic leg spinner. So quite how a journeyman was picked ahead of him, I don't know, but that was the case.
On that front, when I watch Ravi Bishnoi, I get a Rashid Khan vibe from him. He's got the pace, the way in which he releases it. It's slightly different, but there is that bit like Rashid Khan is the best T20 spinner in the world. Like Ravi Bishnoi is not like millions and millions of miles away from that. So,
yeah.
Anyone else in there, Dan, or should we move on to another question?
Well, there's a couple of young bowlers who I quite like. Ashdeep Singh has done well in the last year or two. And also, I mean, if we talk about my unselected 11 later on, one of my star men is Ishan Parel. I mean, it's incredible to think that he actually might, having been at King's 11 for 2 years, he might actually make his debut for someone else. His IPL debut for someone else. I'm not quite sure how he hasn't played. They've got one of the worst bowling attacks in the competition over the last 2 years. And I'm not quite sure what more he could have done at Saib Mushtaq Ali Trophy level to justify a place in a poor team. I mean, it's bizarre that they haven't picked him. Who do I think they'll retain? KL Rahul, Mohammed Shami, and probably even someone Gale. Like Chris Gayle. Yeah. And Agarwal. But Agarwal's justified.
I would retain Agarwal. I was going to say that I'd quite highly rate him as an Indian.
Yeah.
We've got a question in from Janil saying around the Indian spinners in their side. So India has to look beyond Chahal and Kuldeep Yadav and needs better wrist bowlers. So going into the World Cup, I mean, we've seen some of some top quality spin bowlers here. Kuldeep is out of the cold, so I'm not sure he'll play for India again, actually. And Chahal looked all at sea, but he's got that record and he's got kind of a little bit of credit in the bank, maybe. Jack, what are you thinking on that front?
If I was going to pick one, I think Chahal was the best in the IPL. I think he was the best in the England v India series as well. It's sometimes interesting with leg spinners, and you do see quite a high turnover in international cricket, because I think of all the bowling varieties, they're the people that tip what they're likely to bowl most in terms of how they grip the ball, in terms of the different actions they have. And so I think quite often what happens is you get one come through. So let's take Kuldeep. He comes through. Nobody knows what he's doing. He's a left arm leg spinner. It's especially weird. After about a year of being at the top level, people are like, oh, he's doing that. And then he goes from effective to essentially useless, more or less overnight.
Sit back in your crease and then play him off your back foot, right?
It's very difficult, to be a leg spinner in international cricket with the amount of exposure that comes with that, or indeed at the sort of top level of the IPL for year after year after year. But Chahal is the one that I think is the most effective at the moment.
Brilliant.
I'll go with that. Bishnoi's back up. All good.
Swaraj has got another one around. Now that Ishan is dropped from the Mumbai Indians 11, is he a certainty for the World Cup squad, or will Prithvi Shaw take his place? From a personal point of view, I think there's probably room enough for the both of them. Dan, what are you thinking on that front?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ross.
Yeah. Okay. And then Yash has asked, don't you guys feel that people who do well against India just get a bump in terms of price or chances of getting picked up in the IPL? Jack, I mean, that's for sure, isn't it?
That's 100%. I think that's the best route to getting IPL millions is to do something, quite possibly even in a test match against India, because somebody at ownership level in the IPL will notice and they'll throw a lot of money your way. I think that's pretty observable over the last decade.
Samrat has asked, do you think that Shubman Gill will get a chance in the World Cup squad? I hope he doesn't. In terms of T20 cricket I hope that they don't pick Shubman Gill because I think they've just got better options at the top of the order. Dan, has he got enough upside to justify that position, or should he be
in T20?
In T20, yeah.
Why would you pick Shubman Gill when you've got like many, many better options, in my opinion, in domestic players at the top of the order?
He is saying, to be fair, WTC squads. So maybe that is the World Test Championship squad. Definitely the answer is yes, Shubman Gill should get a position in that space. SK Ramis, Jack, where does Moeen Ali fit in this England squad? Especially if it's in India, right? Because the performance that he's done, I mean, he's kind of putting himself like in the reckoning for that number three spot, is he not?
With I would drop Ben Stokes for him. Mm-hmm. Is the genuine answer to that. I think you could drop Milan as well. I think that's a harsher thing to do than dropping Stokes. But, you know, I've said it over and over again on this podcast. I don't really get Stokes as a T20 player. And I think the amount of, you know, firepower England have effectively. So basically, to use Stokes, what you're saying is we're not going to use Sam Curran or Moeen Ali anywhere up the top of the order. And I think both of them are better options. So I don't if his name wasn't Ben Stokes, mm-hmm. I don't think he'd be there. Okay. It won't happen though.
Yeah, I agree on all counts with you there, Jack.
Dan, there's a number of questions from different people around RCB's retention strategy in the mega auction. And you being the super fan that you are, I mean, are they going to keep hold of AB de Villiers? You can't let AB de Villiers go. Can they let Maxwell go? Do they? Punjab Kings let them go thinking that they could get him for cheaper, and then that didn't happen. Surely that's not going to happen. And Virat Kohli is going nowhere, is he?
Okay, so you have to remember that this is a 3 or 4 year cycle. Do you want to retain De Villiers, who's now 37, and thinking, would he be as good as 40? I don't know. But saying that, I think he's much better value at 11 crore than Kohli is at 17. So I think, you know, my feelings in that area. Paddock Howe I've gone on about him for the last hour, but he's a must retain because he will be the future of Indian T20 batting, in my opinion. Maxwell is, last year, I think he got a pay rise despite being poor. So if he's done well this year, I mean, what's he going to go for next year? 20 crore? I don't know. I'm a bit uninspired by the rest, to be honest with you, but I'm sure they'll probably retain someone like Chahal and maybe one of the local pace bowlers as well.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I think we've covered quite a lot in those questions. And Dan, I'm kind of interested to hear your unpicked 11, if I'm perfectly honest, if you want to quickly rattle through that. Unless, Jack, you've seen any questions that take your fancy in that lineup?
Not especially. It would be a good time, though, to once more say, hit like and subscribe. We also, if you want to, you know, properly get involved in the cricket podcast, you can give to us directly over at Patreon, which is in the show notes, or by clicking join on YouTube. But as a minimum, like and subscribe. That's two thumbs up from me there. Yeah, Dan, let's to finish off this stream, let's hear a little bit about players who didn't get an appearance but should have.
Okay, so I don't have three reserves. I am sorry for that, Ross. Although we can
that's all right.
I could think of a couple straight away. We'll have Finn Allen.
Pajara
will be one of the reserves, and Pajara just for old time's sake, maybe as well. Okay, so this lineup has holes. I still had to try and shoehorn only four overseas in it, even though the overseas players who didn't get picked were there was many more of them in terms of high caliber than local players. Opening the batting, we have Robin Utapa as captain. He's captain by default because he's the oldest player in the team. And I'm going with that. It was an unpicked top order batsman in the local market were quite scarce for the unselected 11. So Utapa gets his spot virtually by default. And he's joined up top by Liam Livingstone, who somehow didn't get a game for Rajasthan Royals behind David Miller. Livingstone's an excellent six hitter and bowls some very useful legs. Well, he basically bowls leg spin and off spin, depending on who he's bowling against. And I really value bowling options out of your top six batsmen. So, Liam Livingstone picks up one of the overseas spots for me. Then we can argue about the order of the next three, but we'll go with this. Mohammed Azharuddin who didn't get a game for RCB. He's an excellent hitter, and he's got a very, very good 4-6 ratio. So what I mean by that is that he scores almost as many sixes as he does fours. So that's incredibly helpful for winning that. If you win that boundary percentage count, you've got players who also hit more sixes as well, then that's extremely useful, given the fact that most teams who, if anyone loses when they win the boundary percentage count, it's usually because the other team scored more sixes. Then we've got Sam Billings as a wicketkeeper. And he could have been another captaincy option actually as well. I was surprised to see he didn't get a game because I rate him a lot higher than I do Steve Smith in T20 cricket. And I think that Billings is a really useful player to have because he can play multiple roles as well with the bat. So he could bat four, he could bat five, and he can also be a finisher as well. And he's a 360 player. I like him a lot. So he's my number four. The next player I have picked is another hitter, Ripal Patel, who didn't get a game either. And so we've got, you can see a theme here is that we've gone for quite an attacking batting group. And that's continued by my number six, which is Krishnappa Gautam, who didn't get a game apart from being a sub fielder for CSK, despite them spending over 9 crore on him. again, another spin option from the top six, which I like a lot, and another aggressive hitter. So yeah, let's ink in Krishnappa Gautam at number six. And another hitter, we have seven hitters. We are like Mumbai Indians here. And we have Ben Cutting at number seven. It's beyond, I know they play with different teams, but it's beyond belief that Jimmy Neesham got more game time than Ben Cutting in the IPL. And how Cutting went unsold first time, and guys like Neesham, Tom Curran and Henriquez got picked up for more money. It was just, in my opinion, mind-blowing. He's an excellent hitter. He's exactly what you need as a finisher. And we can hopefully get rid of a couple of overs in the middle overs from him as well. So another bowling option. So with the four bowlers from 8 to 11, plus Gautam, plus Cutting, and plus Livingstone, we've got seven bowling options. So that we've got really good options for matchups as well, so that's ideal. Number eight, how he didn't get a game for a really poor franchise is beyond me. Lockie Ferguson. I mean, what did he have to do to get picked? I'm not quite sure. Anyway,
call Pat Cummins.
Well, yeah, potentially. Yeah, maybe if he was bought for 15 crore, then that might have been. Yeah.
What he should have done is report Sunil Narine's action, and so then he would have had to go get checked, and then he would have got a game.
Maybe you're right. and we can quibble about the batting order for these tail enders, but it doesn't really matter. Number nine, we have Sai Kishore, the left armer from CSK, who's done very, very well at lower levels, never really got a game. Probably should be playing for someone else, but they probably want spin back up because they play home games at Chepauk, and then they can play about six spinners and be happy with it. And then we have my man Ishan Parel, who, despite being incredible at Sahib Mushtaq Ali Trophy level, doesn't get a game for one of the worst bowling teams in the competition, Kings 11, for 2 years running. And I actually genuinely think he's going to make his debut for someone else next season, and then people might actually realise he could be quite good. And then finally, I think we spoke about him a little bit earlier, he doesn't get a game in anymore, and it's really sad because he used to be very, very good, Kuldeep Yadav. So yeah, I mean, with that, we've got pace options, we've got Cutting, Ferguson, Parel, we've got spin options from Kishore, Kuldeep Yadav, Gautam and Liam Livingstone. It's perfect for Chepauk. I can bowl 16 overs of spin. It's Ross's duds 11. And we are going to grind them into the ground, especially if he gets the cock in at the top of the order as well as his sub. Man.
This is a cricket match I so badly want to see happen.
You know what I think you should do, Jack? I think on the cricket podcast, after this pod, you should put the two teams on Twitter and do a poll as to who's going to win at Chepauk.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, excellent prompt, Dan, at the cricket pod. You can see down there. right, fellas, I think we've answered a lot of questions. We've done some Twitter stuff. We've had the uncapped 11. We've had the duds 11. We've had Dan's top players. I think that's probably enough cricket podcast for the day. Do you agree?
Yeah, well, there's just a couple of things in the chat around Jason Roy, Finn Allen, and Amrek Nokia, Dan.
Yeah. I was only out four overseas. I'm sorry. Had to go for team balance. It was a Sunrisers-esque problem.
Yeah.
Cool. That's fair enough. So we're going to call it a day now. We'll we're planning on doing about two shows a week for the near future. That relies a little bit on us being able to get some guests. If you have any really good contacts, then get in touch with us. And we'll try and do probably one of those shows live, I think, and we might pre-record and release at a more reasonable time, especially for our people, for our fans in India, some of those other videos. But we've got lots of content coming up, so stick with us. We have a lot of good stuff, and then obviously as we move into the summer, we'll have the World Test Championship, we'll have England v India, we've got the 100, we'll have the IPL when that starts again, we'll have the the World Cup, the T20 World Cup, and then we've got the Ashes. So it's a pretty chocked calendar, isn't it, Ross, for us over the next few months.
Yeah, it sure is. But as always, Dan, you've been absolutely brilliant. So we love having you on the show. So you're part of the furniture now. So
appreciate that. Yeah, no, love it. Absolutely love it.
Cool. Last reminder to click like and subscribe. And in the show notes, you can head over to Patreon if you want to get involved there. We said we're working our way up to 10. We've gone from 5 to 6. It's tough going. It's test match conditions. It's early season test match conditions in England. We're really battling for those Patreons. So, you know, if you can, please give us a hand. Otherwise, thanks very much for listening and watching. We will be back early next week.
See you later, everybody.
Bye.
And the 100 starts in July. Is everyone answering?
22nd of July. Yeah.
There we go. We're in for it. We have to come and see a Birmingham Phoenix game, Dan.
No, 100%. It'd be great to catch up. Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.